good that we have the opportunity and the privilege of being able to meet together tonight to worship God and to enjoy a time together as His people. And we're going to look this evening at the book of Deuteronomy for a few moments. Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In this particular time of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses was going to die. He knew his death was very soon. And they had come all the way through the 40 years of wilderness wandering and came to the Jordan River before entering the Promised Land. And Moses, of course, knew that he was not going to be able to enter the Promised Land because of a sin he had committed before. And God told him, but he says, you'll be able to see it from a distance, but you won't be able to enter. And so Moses, calling the people of Israel together in the book of Deuteronomy, has a series of messages that he brought to them before his death, and wanted them to be encouraged, to be strengthened, and also to be warned about the fact that if they turned away from God, what the consequence would be. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15, he says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you possess, are going to possess. But if you turn your hearts so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish, and you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go in to possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them." So this was Moses' last message to the people of Israel, that he is going to die. He knew that he was going to, and he spoke these series of messages, which brings about the book of Deuteronomy, and is recorded there. And so he's giving them his last charge. He had led them 40 years through the wilderness and through good times, crossing of the Red Sea, the defeat of the Ammonites and the Moabites in the wilderness to allow them to take the part of the land which was east of the Jordan River. But he has also led them through very bad times, for Korah's rebellion, where thousands died because of that, and the fear that they had to enter the land of Canaan, and they said, "We're like grasshoppers in their sight, and we can't take the land." So God told them, "Because you've said this and done this and rebelled, you're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before I allow you to go into the land. That only those under the age of 20, besides two others, that Joshua and Caleb, were allowed to go into the Promised Land." But we find, of course, he offered himself in their place to be punished for their sin on a couple of occasions. And in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, God told Moses to stand aside. "I'm going to destroy this people, and I'm going to raise up from you a great nation." And yet Moses said, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of the book which you have written." In other words, Moses offered his life, his sacrifice, his eternal destiny for the sake of the Israelite people that he was leading, even though they were rebelling against him. However, Moses could not force Israel to do right. As great a man as he was, he could only encourage them to be faithful. He urged, he persuaded, he exhorted. And then finally, in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, "Here is what I've set before you. Good and evil, life and death." He says, "Choose right and choose righteousness and faith and life." And so we look at this, and we find that obedience to God's commands leads to eternal life, both for them under the law which they lived, looking forward to Christ, and for us who live under the law of Christ, looking back to the cross for what he had done for us. So under the law of Moses, or under Christ, the same is true, to believe and obey the things the Lord commands. And Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16, he says, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply in the land which the Lord has given you to possess. So God promised them this land all the way back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and you're going to receive this land which you're living in now. It's going to be a long time till they fully receive it, but you're still going to do it. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James says of God, with whom can be no variableness, neither shadow cast by his turning. So in other words, God is always the same. When he makes a promise, when he gives a command, he is going to fulfill what he says. But the law for them, and the law for them and for us today, has changed. They lived under the Mosaic law. We live under Christ. And yet the principle is always the same. Obey what God says and you will be blessed. But obedience pleases God, who ultimately is the source of all life. And Moses said to the people there, choose life that you may live. So they had a choice in the matter. And of course, and we find in Deuteronomy 3 and verse 16, he says, here is the promise that he's going to give you, these blessings, if you'll be faithful to him. Without God, life is just a period of time, then we die and that's it. But with God, we have eternal life looking forward to. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we have to realize that God puts within us a spirit being that's going to survive the death of the physical body. But where we spend eternity is based upon what we decide to do, to live according to his will or not. In fact, in Acts 17:28, the Bible says there, the Apostle Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. All that we are, all that we can be, all that ever will be, depends upon him and our faith and our obedience to him. Obedience also secures the outward blessings that sustain life. Again, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 16 says, your God shall bless you in the land. Now, that was a physical promise that was given to the Israelite people. If you'll believe God, you'll obey him, God will have you to have a long life in the land that he has given to you. But if you turn away, of course, the other side of that is also true. Not only will you not have a long life, I'll take this land away from you, which eventually he did because of their sin. And so they didn't obey. Now, if you turn for a moment over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul has a similar kind of blessing mentioned for us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, he says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Sometimes we read this in relationship to giving on the first day of the week, and it certainly fits there, and that's part of that. But there's more to it than this, because the Apostle Paul gives us the result of how if we give as God wants us to do in cheerful way, according as he has blessed us. Verse 8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, toward you, that you, having always all sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. In other words, if we give of ourselves, and it's not just giving of our money, it's our time, our talent, our ability, whatever God has given. And he says he's able to give much more to us and make us abound in the work of God. Verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed the abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgivings through us to God. Notice how God gives much more than we give to him. He wants us to give of our money on the first day of the week, as we are commanded to do and given a privilege to do, but it's not simply that. It's that more that we give, God's going to bless us. And that principle is not just in 2 Corinthians. It actually is taught all the way through the Old Testament. In fact, in the book of Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, God says, test me and see if you will give as I have told you, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. And so that's what he wants us to do. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, he says, for he is the life, he is your life and the length of your days. So obedience then gains divine favor. Now don't get to the idea here that we can kind of bribe God by doing what's right and that somehow God can be bribed one way or the other. But the idea is he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us because we are faithful to him and we choose to follow him. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, Isaiah said, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. In other words, the greatest we can do is nothing more than the evil of mankind. Nothing we can do on our own. But if we change and we're willing to follow the Lord, he's willing to bless us. In Luke chapter 17, verse 10, he says, even so you also, when you shall have done all things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty. You know, most we can possibly do as human beings in service to the Lord is simply the basic things of our duty that we can perform. But God doesn't look at it that way. When we do the best that we can, God's going to bless us much more than we've ever imagined. And Moses is trying to get across to the people of Israel in this particular chapter that if you will give, if you'll serve, if you'll be faithful and not go after idols and the things of those that, he says, you're going to be blessed more than you can begin to imagine. Also, obedience is looked upon with favor by the Lord. Again, it's not the idea of bribing God to do something good for us, because God can't be bribed because he doesn't need anything. In Psalm 63 and verse 3, David said, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Now, David understood that whatever blessing he had in life, that God was so much greater than that. Whatever he gave to God's work, God's will was so much more and so much greater than anything that he could do. Even though he was the king of Israel, he recognized that. Philippians 1:21, the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, no matter what I do, it cannot be greater than what God's going to give to me. He says, if for me to live is Christ. In other words, that's the sole responsibility of my life. That's the priority that's set over everything else. He says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And we look at death most of the time as being something terrible and something that ends life. And that's true in one sense from our human perspective. But to God's view, if we're faithful, that's only the beginning. That's the beginning of the greatest thing that we could possibly have. Abraham, of course, is an example of that obedience. And Hebrews 11, verse 8, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Now, that's a pretty big thing that God required Abraham to do. He says, Abraham, or Abram at that time, as he was called, he said, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave your family. Leave everything behind. You can only take your livestock and a few and your family with you. He says, you go to a place I will show you. He didn't tell him where he was going. He says, you take those and you go, and I'll tell you when it's right when you get there. And so Abraham had to go by faith, which he did. In James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Because he did what God said. And first time he went from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, which was a long trip, and he stayed there for a period of time. And God said, okay, this is not it. We're going on. A part of Abraham's family stayed in Haran, and Abraham and Lot and his and their family went on to the land of Canaan, which God promised. But he gave them that blessing, and he said, you do these things, you follow the things I command you. But also the other side of that is true, what Moses said. Choose life rather than death. Disobedience leads to death. Death is separation from God. Spiritually speaking, we are separated because of sin from God, because he is perfect, and evil cannot enter into his presence. And Proverbs 11, verse 19, says, he that is steadfast in righteousness shall obtain unto life, and he that pursues evil does it to his own death. Notice he says, the one that is steadfast in his righteousness. In other words, he tries the best that we can. That's what for all of us. To do the best that we can, even though we're going to fall short, God in his grace will forgive. But notice the other side of that in Proverbs 11. He says, he that pursues evil shall do it to his own death. There are people in the world who pursue evil. That's the main thing in their life. And they're going to pay the consequence eternally for it. It is a dreadful thing to think about death, knowing that we're not right with God. In Genesis 3 and verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I set before you the life and death. No, excuse me, that's from Deuteronomy. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God told Adam and Eve that death is a result of their sin. It says, the day that you eat of the fruit that you will, that's forbidden, you're going to die. Now, they didn't die physically, but they died spiritually from that day on because they sinned. That's why they were put out of the Garden of Eden, because God walked in the Garden of Eden, and evil could not be where he was. And so they were put out of the Garden of Eden. They died spiritually that day, but they died physically a long time later, but they still died. And death, of course, is a consequence of sin. Sin is a constant warfare between righteousness and God and his will, and Satan and evil and his will. And sin can never eventually succeed because God is more powerful. Disobedience also brings about certain death. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 18, Deuteronomy 30 verse 18, so I announce you to you today that you shall surely perish or die. In other words, if you follow the ways of the world around you when you're going into the promised land, if you worship their idols and serve what they do, you're going to die. You're going to be taken out of this land. And it cannot be avoided. It's the only possible consequence of sin, is spiritual death or separation from God. And in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, Ezekiel said, there that the soul that sins, it shall die. There's no maybe it will or maybe not. It's cut and dried. It's right there. The soul that sins and continues in that condition is going to die all for all of eternity, separated from God. The death of which warning has been given is found in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. He says, see that I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. So God sets that promise to us. He gives that decision that we are to make, and he sets it before us. Moses warned the people about whether they're going to serve God or not. And they needed to do it from a sincere heart and a desire to serve God. He knew of the difficulties that were in front of them. He knew that what was going to happen if they rebelled against God. And in the book of Deuteronomy is again, Moses' final message to them to choose to do right, choose to serve God, and to be faithful. But often they didn't do that. And in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 27, verse 12, Solomon said, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and suffer for it. Now, simple there is people who can know the difference but don't want to know or don't put forth the effort to avoid what is evil. Now, Jesus warned his disciples and in Luke chapter 21 of the coming destruction of the city of Jerusalem because God was going to destroy the city of Jerusalem because by and large they were responsible for crucifying Jesus, the Son of God. If they didn't repent and come to God through Christ, the city was going to be destroyed. But Jesus gave them a warning in Luke 21, verse 20. He says, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, he says, then know that her desolation is at hand, and let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains. Some people think he's talking about the end of time in that particular passage. He's not. He does mention it later on in Luke 21. Here he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD when the Roman armies came and surrounded the city. And when those came, Jesus already told his disciples to run, get out of the city, because if you don't, you're going to die. And we know from historical accounts that most of the Christians who were in Jerusalem were out of the city when they saw the Romans coming and surrounding the city. And so they listened to Jesus' warning. Their lives were spared in 70 AD because of what they did. But spiritually, there's an even greater understanding. If we flee out of this world in the spiritual sense and follow the Lord, we're going to receive eternal life. But also due to the great consequences of either obedience or disobedience, Moses made an urgent request of the people. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. In other words, he says to them, if you choose life now, if you choose God's will now, not only will you save yourself from destruction, you will save your children, your grandchildren, and all of your descendants if they will follow in your way. So they had a choice to make, and it was a free will offering. Choose which one you're going to do. God does not interfere with our freedom of choice in this life. We can choose to do right. We can choose to do evil. He's not going to interfere with that, but he explains the consequences of the choice we're going to make, whether to do right or to do evil. And each one of us is personally responsible for what we choose to do in life. We can't blame someone else for not serving God. We can't blame someone else for not taking time to know what God says. And then if we choose to do right and be faithful to the Lord, we have an influence over our children, our relatives, our friends, and maybe we don't even know how many people around us that we have an influence on. But we need to choose which influence we will be, either right or wrong. We are also urged to choose even by God himself. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says that God commends his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God wants us to follow him, and he gave us the greatest opportunity through Christ to be able to be forgiven, but we have to choose to follow him. He also claims our loyalty in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20. He says that you may love the Lord your God, and you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. In other words, God is our life. He is the length of our days. He is the one that blesses us with all things. And so he claims our loyalty, but he also demands that we make a choice. Yeah, we can't go through life and not choose to do right or to do wrong. And if someone says, well, I'm just going to stay in the middle, I'm not going to make a choice. Well, the choice is already made. Because if you stay there, you're not doing the Lord's will. We have to choose to follow him. We will be rewarded or punished based upon the choice. Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus told of the coming of the day of judgment and gave a kind of a vision there of what was going to happen, he says, these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So he gives us the opportunity to choose to be righteous, to be faithful before God. It's not our own righteousness. He'll forgive and he'll make us righteous if we're faithful to him. There should be no delay when we make the decision. Because Moses said to the people of his day, I have set before you this day. In other words, not tomorrow, not a year from now or 10 years from now, but this day is the day you are to choose. There's no other time that God's given to any of us. We don't have the promise of even another day of life. Now, maybe in our mind we understand that, but often we don't live that way. But we have to understand if our life is over today, we're going to stand before God in judgment. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, when Paul was before making his defense before Felix, Felix said that he says, when I have a convenient season, I'll call you back to me. If you read the passage just before that, it says he trembled and he was afraid when he heard about righteousness and judgment. And he says, okay, well, go away now, and when I have a better time, I'll bring you back. As far as we know he never did. But the appeal from the supreme authority is from, of course, God himself. And is the choice we have to make. And it's interesting that Moses said what we've read here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. But in Joshua chapter 24, about 40 or 45 years later, Joshua gave the same thing, choice to the people of Israel. And he said in Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, you make the choice yourself. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, God and Christ have set before us today the same thing, life and good or death and evil. We have to choose one or the other. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. He says, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So he is our Lord, our Savior. We have to make a decision to follow him or not. There is a choice. There's no other alternative. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. This evening, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, for whatever reason it may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.